All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, March 3rd of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have an 8-game NBA main slate, as well as an 11-game NHL slate later this evening. And then we already have some League of Legends and soccer underway. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here. We do have a number of questions that came in prior to the show today, which is great. A couple questions from this morning. We are going to start there, and then we will see where we go. So let's get this first question queued up. Okay, get the questions up. All right, first question today. When guys are ruled out before lock, do you recommend a completely new build, rebuilding the current build, or something else? Good question. So what I would recommend, well, basically when a sim runs, right? When any sim finishes, the projection icon, which is this arrow, these two arrows going in a circle, is going to light up green, kind of like this one is over here because I don't have an entry file uploaded at the moment. When this lights up and someone is ruled out, all you really need to do is click it to get SaberSim to refresh to account for the projection change where the player in question has gone from, say, 30 points down to zero. Doing that will allow you to stay in the same build. So if you've set up anything, minimax salaries, filters, rules, setting changes, minimax exposures, other projection adjustments unrelated to the out player, you can keep all of those very easily, right? Opening a new build would cause you to lose it. If you right-click cloned your build, you know, that would just like take additional time that you probably don't want to lose. So in my opinion, the best thing to do, click refresh projections. And then after you have a set of lineups built, the build lineups button is going to say rebuild lineups. So click the refresh projection icon, rebuild lineups, all while staying in the same build is what I would recommend doing in this scenario. So the other part I want to mention with that is I would really recommend not using quick swap. I know sometimes people do that pre-slate. I really recommend not doing that. The reason for that is because the swap tools were designed to be used while a slate is in progress. Using the swap tools when a slate is not in progress, basically they are more prone to some type of error in that scenario because they're being used in an environment that they weren't kind of built for. So try and avoid using the swap tools if the slate is still in progress. If the slate has not started, sorry. I was going to say unless the slate is in progress. So just one note there. And then we ran this build and then now it says rebuild lineups. This was the button that I wanted to show off at the beginning of answering this question. So that is all you would need to click. Okay, good stuff there. Can you get this next question set up? All right, next question. Can you walk through how auto versus manual groups work? Usually I just do manual and set something like at least one player out of these two players, or no more than one out of these group of players, etc. Yes. So manual versus auto. Okay, we go to rules. Say we have a group rule, auto, manual, right? What is the difference? Well, I think manual is a little bit easier. So let's say that I didn't want to use more than three players from one team as an example. Okay, so I would do group manual, use no more than three. Now, I would need to do this for every team, right? So I would go to edit players, and then I'm gonna go to Detroit, and then, you know, let's say I'm going to look at players projected more than 17 points, and then I'm gonna select them, right? Okay, I come in, I select 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players, right? I select these seven, I click save. Now this rule says use no more than three players effectively from Detroit here, right? And then if I wanted to do this for every team, well, I would have to go and do that one at a time, right? Auto saves you that headache. So with auto, I can go group auto, use no more than three, but instead of me having to click them in, I can use the group by options here to do that faster. So if I click group by and then I choose team, well, it's going to do what I wanted it to do for each team by itself. And I can check this by clicking save as manual. It's saying, hey, we're going to create 16 different groups. The reason for that is there's 8 games on the slate, so there are 16 different teams. When I click save, I'm doing it on with manual on purpose. It's like a auto, it's auto, but it's manual. I don't want to confuse anybody, but the reason I did it that way is so we can see it. When you use auto rules, but you save it as manual, you can come back into the rule dashboard, and then you can click this drop down arrow. It'll actually show you the rule for each team. So here I can look at Dallas and I can say, hey, it did exactly what I wanted, but it just did it so much faster, right? The cool thing about saving it as manual is that if there is an exception that you want to make, you can do so, right? Maybe for most teams, you're okay with three, but for one team in particular, you don't want more than two, right? Okay, so say Dallas, you know what? I mostly want two. I want three, but for Dallas, I only want two. Okay, so then I would change the title of the rule because it's not going to change automatically when I come in and change the logic. So now I'm going to switch Dallas to use no more than two. I click save. I go back to the dashboard. Now Dallas is two. All the other teams are three. Hey, what if there's a team that I want four? Okay, look, if I come in and change use no more, then I change the value from three to four. I click save. Well, that updated the logic of the rule, but it didn't update the title of the rule, right? It still says three, even though it is four when we open it. So that's why I like to that's why I like to change the title so I can quickly know what I'm looking at. If you just save it as auto rather than saving it as manual, you will not have that drop down arrow. So I can't go in and make exceptions. This rule is just going to be steadfast for all teams, and I don't have the ability to alter them. So that is the difference between auto and manual groups. And then within auto, saving as an auto rule or saving as a manual rule. So that is how that works. In the question that you described here, it sounds like manual rules would work better for you because it sounds like you're grouping players together and SaberSim isn't going to know as easily what players you want to group. So you might just have to add those in yourself, which is okay. So, but I just wanted to show how you can use manual versus auto. All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, can you compare the 25 cent 150 max on FanDuel to the $2.22 25 max. Okay, let's go over to FanDuel. And we're going to look at just NBA. 8-game slate tonight. Nice, healthy slate. Okay, so what I would probably do here is, like, let's say contest less than $3. Max entries greater than 19. Okay, so this is a pretty good way of analyzing these. So first thing off the bat, right, the piggy bank, the 5-cent 150 max, has way more effective entrants, right? About 800 versus about 200. Right, number of entrants in the contest is much greater. So here, well, one thing, right, they're all, both contests are under $3, so that's good. But the big difference is in effective entrants, the $2.22 has a 4 times higher top prize than the 5-cent 150 max. If you were asking me, you know, which one I would play, I would probably play the 5-cent 150 max first. And then I would play the $2.22 second, right? Kind of skipping the 25 cent here because you didn't ask about that one. So I think the 5-cent is a great first contest, especially if you're new to 150 maxing, especially if you haven't done a ton of it and you want to get into it. It is a, you know, low kind of barrier to entry 150 max. You're not going to find a 150 max cheaper than this. Unless you're playing like the pocket qualifier, but that's not a GPP. So I was kind of talking about GPP specifically. I think that's a great one. I think the 222 is a good one to work in. And then even the 25-cent 150 max seems like a solid contest as well. But I think it's okay to go over the 25 straight to the 222 if you want, and then kind of circle back to it from there. All right. Next question. All right. Neil said, can you demonstrate a good way to use favorites? I've been experimenting with running builds and favoriting lineups with high Sabre scores or other aggregate metrics. I like to create my own pool of 500 lineups in favorites to assign to entries. Are there any pros, cons to this approach or pitfalls to avoid? Yes, right. And we'll go back to the build where I already created some lineups to kind of demonstrate this. All right, go back to this build one. And we'll let these lineups load up. We're going to create a group. So I think favorites is the most beneficial when you want to build lineups either from different game scripts or with different rules, right? Sometimes people, like, you know, like kind of like the rules question earlier, hey, I want to group these players together, or hey, I want to group these players apart, right? You want to have so many kind of lineups with that logic. That is a good opportunity to use rules, right? Hey, in this build, I used these rules. And then in this other build, I used no rules or something like that. That would be a good opportunity. Hey, in build one, I can build, you know, say 10 lineups for my 20 max. And then I prefer to use the shift click option, right? So click the bookmark and then scroll down and then hold shift on your keyboard and then click the bookmark on the next one. I'll demonstrate that right now. So like different game scripts, sometimes people do like different team totals, and here's the bookmark thing, right? So I click the top one, I scroll down, I hold shift, and then I click this one, and then it sends all of the ones in between to the favorites tab. I think people do this like for like a NFL showdown, right? Hey, for this build, I want a low scoring game, and then for the next build, I want a high scoring game. And then for the next one, I want to blow out on one favoring one team. On the next one, I want to blow out favoriting the other team, right? You're using all these builds for these different game scripts with different projections. and then you're combining them all into the favorites where you've basically like divvied up that you're getting the best items from different scripts, right? That's one way to use it, right? So scripts or like rules or no, I think like scripts and rules are the main ways that I would, the main reasons I would want to consider using the favorites. And then, you know, demonstrating how to send the lineups to the favorites, you would do that from each individual build. As far as your question, are there any pros and cons to avoid or pitfalls or to this approach or pitfalls to avoid? I don't think it's bad. You know, it sounds like, hey, you know, there are certain metrics that matter to you and you're trying to get the lineups that excel in those various metric departments. And I think that's a totally fine thing to do. As far as pitfalls to avoid, one thing to keep in mind with the favorites, it sounds like you're kind of maxing it out, right? Putting a lot of lineups in here, is when you trash a lineup from the favorites, right? So I'm going to go into the favorites. I'm going to let the lineups create here. Let's say I trash one, right? This doesn't get rid of the lineup from the favorite environment. It's technically still here. So if you're like maxed out at 500 already and you're trying to trash lineups, but it's not letting you put more in, you actually need to go to the favorites bar up here, right click on it and click clear favorites. Clearing the favorites actually removes all of the lineups from this environment. Caveat is that it removes all lineups, not just the ones in the trash, but that is the only true way to allow yourself to add more lineups to the favorite environment, is by coming in here and completely clearing it. And then now it's back to being gray. So that's the one thing you want to keep in mind when using favorites as far as pitfalls to avoid goes. All right. Next question. Coach said, hey, Andrew, I am consistently doing well in low stakes, but as soon as I put money into flagships or higher stakes, it's like Saber gives me a different style of lineups. Continuation here. Is there a way to have low stakes and flagship get the same type of lineups? And then just quick note, additionally, I have the ultimate package for reference. Okay, thank you for that. So I think the reason that SaberSim gives you these different lineups, just to give a little bit of insight as to like what I think might be happening here, right, is that if we look at like contests, you know, less than $3, we'll look at like mostly the bigger kind of GPP, MME kind of types, right? You see some of these, you know, the 50 cent mini max, 10% to first, the $1 20 max, 5% to first, the $2 mini max is like not my favorite contest, you know, mostly avoid that. 25 cent quarter jukebox, 5% to first, right? And then all these dime times are like 10% to first. These payout structures are generally pretty flat, is the point I'm trying to make here. You know, low percent to first, cashing is like 23 up to 27, flat stuff here, right? Okay, so we get rid of the fee, and then we go and we look at like coming, like the flagship, for instance, right? 33% to first, 20% cash. So the cash rate takes a nosedive. This can be part of the reason you're cashing less, right? Is because you went from 23 to 27% cash to about 20%. That takes your odds from around 4 to 1 in 4 to about 1 in 5. So that's one note. And then this very steep, very top heavy payout structure, right? We go from 5 to 10% to first to all of a sudden 33% to first, right? So these contests get a lot top heavier. SaberSim, in my opinion, kind of optimizes for that upside and can give you some, what I would say are probably like higher standard deviation lineups where they can go further in the tournament. But if you can go further one direction, you can also go further the other direction as well, right? So I think it's a combination of the top heavy payout structure plus the lower cash percentage is why you can, why it can feel like you're doing worse in these contests, when really I think that you're probably not doing any worse than the average user would be doing, but it feels worse comparing it to your low stakes contest where the payout structures might be a little bit flatter, cashing rate might be a little bit higher. So as far as what you can do, kind of getting back to your question, is there a way to have low stakes and flagships get the same type of lineups? So what I think you can do is you could duplicate your low stakes entries into your bigger contests if you so choose, right? I think a good option for that would be using, and I'm going to pull it up, one of the templates here. It's the all contests in one group template, right? So like what I'm imagining is you're playing some low stakes 20 maxes. You might even be maxing out the mini max, and then you're throwing some entries into the flagship. So like, let's say, for example, you know, you're playing, and I'm going to create some groups kind of showing this. Okay, we'll just switch to uniques. Go another group, 150. And then we'll go another group, 10. Okay, cool. So here, right, diversity, rank by don't really matter in this example. So let's say I'm playing a 20 max, I'm playing the mini max, and then I'm putting 10 lineups in the flagship, right? If you were just to use all contests in one group, you would get one group with 150 lineups, where the lineups for the 20 max and the lineups for the flagship both came from the 150 set that you're inputting into the mini max, right? I think that this is a way of guaranteeing that all of your contests get the same type of lineup. And then you can even confirm that by coming in here, going to uniques one, diversity. And then you can even go, like when you run a contest sim, go and use the low stakes ROI to rank these by, right? Hey, I want to use the minimax ROI, and I would select that. And then those minimax ROI adjusted lineups would go into all of your contests. So I think that's one way to accomplish what you're trying to do. So I would give that a shot and see how it works for you. Okay. Next question. All right. Jimmy said, I know you say when it comes to post-build filter for projected score or geo mean, you say don't filter more than 10% of build. However, what if I don't have that many lineups? Is 50% filter okay post? Yeah, it's okay to be more aggressive here. You know, I mostly just want people to be careful where if, say, you're playing a 150 max and you have 500 lineups, right? If you filter out 50%, you know, you're not left with a lot to kind of work with. If you have any other, you know, thoughts or ideas, exposures you want to set. So it's more just like a word of caution. I think that, you know, let's say you have 5,000 lineups and you only need, you know, 20, right? Like, hey, yeah, it's okay to take 5,000 down to 2,500, you still have plenty of lineups to work with. So if you want to do more, you know, go ahead, totally do so. Just be careful, you know, as that number of entries start to climb, you just might want to be a little bit more cautious. Coach said, awesome, thank you. You're welcome. All right. Looking around here, think we are all caught up with questions in office hours and YouTube. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care.